Hey everyone, you're listening to Chiclet and Libations. We're your hosts, Amanda
and Tony,
and we're bringing you all the best and spicy books that we love to read. This week, we are going to be chatting about the TikTok sensation Icebreaker by Hannah Grace, starring Anastasia Allen and Nate Hawkins. Thanks for joining us today, and let's skate on in.
Every episode, we'll pair a book and a drink. For Icebreaker, we created Uber Slut, which contains vodka, peach schnapps, blue curacao, and orange juice. This was inspired by Anastasia's contact name in Nate's phone after their Uber scene. Don't worry, we'll explain as you listen. You can find this recipe on our Instagram page at Chiclet and Libations. Cheers!
Cheers!
For those of you who haven't read this book yet, be aware that we will be discussing the book in detail. So this is your official spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Icebreaker is a story following Anastasia, or Stays, who is a Paris figure skater, and Nate, who is the captain of the hockey team at the University of California, Maple Hills. When an injury sidelines Stays' partner, Aaron, Nate steps in to help her train and succeed in her career. Well, well, well.
I know, it's exciting. You know, you look at this book and you just think that this is some, I don't know, YA innocent
just
hockey love story. Yeah. I don't know. Especially hockey meets ice skating.
Hockey meets ice skating and...
Very deceptive.
Very deceptive, very cartoonish cover. And I think as most bookstagrammers and book talkers know by now, the more cartoonish, I feel like the more... naughty the books are, right?
It seems to be that way, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. So,
which I'm not mad about, because this allows me to post these on my social media without too many questions from people.
Yeah, because if you keep like sharing the books, like the classic contemporary romance that are just like those hot steamy models with like
guy with his shirt off,
which, by the way, I follow this guy on Instagram. I first found him on TikTok, and then I found him on his Instagram, and he actually is from Round Rock. And last night I just happened to be on his feed because he's always posted. He's a model, but
for book club covers.
Yeah, and then I found out last night that it's for like these smutty book covers, and I was like, oh my gosh. That's so funny.
That is funny.
So, but yeah, if I'm being
honest. Isn't that the Sandra Bullock movie that just came out with Channing Tatum? Isn't that what this is based, like, similar? Like, he was her book cover model for the series that she was writing or something like that.
I haven't seen the movie.
Ah, you've got to watch. I don't remember the name of it. Mm. But it was entertaining, and, like, Brad Pitt has a cameo in it.
He does? Oh my gosh.
It's small, though.
Well, we need to maybe, I'm thinking, watch that movie then, or what?
It's called The Lost City. It was just came out last year.
The Lost City. Yes, I do know what you're talking about now. I remember seeing the trailers for that movie. But anyways, we digress. We need to get back to...
Let's get back to Icebreaker.
This is not a movie podcast.
We're also building up our watch list.
This is a book podcast. So yes. Anastasia, Stacy, we're not really sure like which nickname pronunciation she was going for there, but I think that's just one of the many great things about reading is it's open to your interpretation, right?
Yeah, you know, we could just call her Annie, like her parents did, which I thought that was a hilarious part of the book.
When I laughed out loud when she was like, yeah, they called me Annie because I was an orphan.
Because I was an orphan, and she was totally bluffing, and Nate bought it. That was really cute.
Poor Nate. He's got a heart of gold.
Yeah. Like, no, you just couldn't spell your name. That's why we called you Annie.
She's like, yeah, they called me Annie because I was an orphan. I just, that scene played out in my head with her just being completely like, just stone face.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like absolutely. Her humor, there are some parts of the book where she's like, kind of like dry humor, which really appealed to me because I'm very sarcastic and dry humor. But yeah, so going off of that, did you see it coming that she was adopted?
Didn't they explain that earlier on in the book?
Well, yeah, I'm talking about like the original reveal that she was adopted in the book. We got a bit of a blank stare, folks. What are...
I am blanking on this part because I don't remember that being such a big part that I remembered it.
I didn't say it was a big part. I thought it was interesting that she just kind of threw that in there, that she was adopted. Just, I think that overall...
You mean without, like, glossing over it, like, without diving into background or anything?
Sure.
I need to know more about the questioning of this.
I just didn't think that she was adopted. That's all there is to it.
Oh, that's it. Okay. That's probably why I'm getting a blank stare, because I'm like...
End scene. I don't know. It's just a question that I had. Like, huh, okay, she's adopted. Like, I wonder, wonder why she was adopted versus, like, why the author wrote her character as adopted. Mm-hmm. Because, I don't know. I guess there was some of that, like, history played into the storyline a little bit. But not, like, a ton as far as, like, yeah... Douchebag Aaron brings up her birth parents versus her adoptive parents, but
he's a dick.
I don't know. That was just my first thought.
As I was reading the book and taking notes, my notes about Aaron got progressively angrier. Like, at first it was like, Aaron, I hate him. Aaron, he's annoying. An ass. Aaron's a dick. Like, okay, I hate this guy. He needs to die.
Aaron's terrible. Okay, Aaron is an asshole.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Aaron can go fuck off.
It's exactly how I was feeling. Right? Like, the...
But that's how I felt, too.
About it was getting built
he
up.
He was such a, well-hated villain, I feel of the story.
She did write him well. But, I mean, for, 400 and some odd pages... Ooh, I did feel like this was a bit long, but it does feel like there are those types of things she could have fleshed out a little bit better for her audience.
Yeah,
as far as didn't really take much for us to hate Aaron, because
no, honestly,
he's controlling what she's eating. He's telling her she's fat when she gains an ounce
of muscle,
Not even fat. And he's lifting twice her size in the gym and still complaining that she's putting on weight. Like, he's just absolutely gaslighting her and trying to control her. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I thought the...
Okay, so also for those of y'all who are not following along yet, if you haven't read the book, Aaron is Stacy's Pear's partner in the book. So she puts up with a lot from him. They also had a very good relationship. She was under the impression they had a good relationship. Mm-hmm. And then things kind of started to come to light about the ways that he was treating her, the way he was talking about her. And then he was literally controlling her every calorie count, and she was malnourished.
She was severely under eating.
Yeah.
And Nathan, actually his full name is Nathaniel, if we want to get technical, but Nate.
But he never goes by Nathaniel.
Affectionately known as Nate Hawkins, captain of the hockey team. He's the one that discovered that basically he was like, wait, can I see your meal plan?
Yeah.
Cause she's a planner, mm-hmm. down to the T, and it's one thing that she feels in her life that helps her gain control when things in the world feel out of control. And
which is actually something that she didn't actually have any control on either. She just didn't realize it.
Right.
Cause she just assumed Aaron had her best in mind.
Yeah, I think that because they had been skating partners for so long and so many years, she just, to no fault of her own, assumed that he had her best interest at heart and was just, really trying to help her with a solid eating plan and this, that, and the other. And so when Nate finally looked at it, he was like, whoa, you are severely under eating, you need way more calories.
And he's not the first person to tell her that. Ryan and Lola also made mention of it, but Lola wasn't very vocal about it. Lola is Stacy's roommate.
Roommate.
One of her roommates, because she also
lived
with Aaron.
Friend of hers, yeah.
And then Ryan, who is the guy that she was
Friends with benefits.
In
the beginning of the book.
Yeah. And both of them told her that she wasn't eating enough. And it wasn't until Nate started actually looking at her plan that he was able to help her dissect what it was that she wasn't doing.
Right. And so that was just one of the many things that Aaron...
we just hate him.
Gaslit. he's just, He's just awful.
Yeah, let's just sum it up and say we hate him. Just and then, awful. So all the drama that started in this book, right, basically was because of what Aaron did. Like, he is, he kind of sabotaged what happened in the rink.
Fully sabotage. So let's and back he up blamed to
an injury. Yeah,
yeah. Let's back up to the beginning.
Let's go all the way back. So let's we took a lot of steps ahead.
When I said let's skate on in, we just skated right in. You know,
and then we breezed past some stuff.
Y'all know this is unscripted and unfiltered, so we don't really have a written in stone plan.
That's right.
We just get together and drink and talk. But anyways, trying to go back to the beginning to like set the scene for the book. Is they end up having to, they meaning the figure skaters during their practice and then the hockey team, they end up having to share an ice rink time because somebody in the beginning, they don't know who, but somebody ends up vandalizing the other rink. So then the coach of the hockey team is like, sits the whole team down and is basically like, do you guys know anything about this? And so the team is like, well, you know, we don't know anything about this, right? And I honestly, like, I mean, that was like, 430 pages ago. I really actually don't remember who ended up vandalizing it and why. It was long,
but there wasn't, like, any emphasis where I felt like there should have been. Like, we got to meet a lot of characters, probably too many characters. And there was a lot that was kind of happening, but that wasn't happening. So it was like a lot of stuff going on, but it wasn't so interesting that it kept your attention on all these little places of information.
Right.
It was very, very much about the relationship between Stace and Nate.
Which I guess ultimately that's the whole like point of contemporary romance, right? Yeah. And if you look at the cover of the book, it's just the two of them.
Yeah.
So,
the innocent book cover. It gets innocent, me every time. Not so innocent, I mean, they're not even like touching on the book cover. So it's no, totally
they're
like.
They're making eyes at each other though.
Yeah. Yeah. And I did say YA earlier. Now this is a university novel. So these kids are in, I say kids, are in their 20s.
Like, oh, early those 20s. Kiddos.
Oh, these kids. Gosh, it makes me feel old.
Those youngins.
But it's fun. It's kind of fun for me to read something like this and be like, is this how kids are communicating?
Youths.
Youths. Channel your inner Schmidt from New Girl. It's like to see that that's how the kids are communicating and how they're engaging in each other's lives and in sex and all of that, right? Dating and everything. So Stacey didn't want a relationship from the beginning, which is why Ryan was great. Ryan was the head of the captain. Of the basketball team.
Yeah.
And so one of the other things we hate about Aaron is when he called her a jersey chaser and that she would drop her panties for anybody in a jersey.
In a jersey uniform.
I hate that guy. But yeah, like, so her.
The only time I ever want to see a grown man on his knees in front of me, Nate, is when his face is between my legs. So no, I don't want you to beg me. Hello.
But she does because.
To which he follows it up with, oh, fuck.
He's all about it.
All about it. He's like, yeah. Oh, this girl is for real.
I mean, is tongue lashing a good way to say that?
Sure. Yeah. We can go with that. I mean, okay. It sounds a little rough.
Well, and then their first time that they actually slept together and he made her come three times before he came once. I was like, that is not a real man. I'm sorry. Show me that man, please. Somebody.
What she means is, point the way, please.
Please point him out to me.
Please draw me a map to where that her man three to is his and one. Exists, because he is all about that in this whole story.
I know.
And all about the, like, the praise and the affirmation and the good girl. And I'm like, oh,
if I didn't have such a hard time being like, oh, he's so young, I would totally be fantasizing about him with me.
Just to be clear.
Also, like, 21-year-olds just, I don't know. Like,
that's a little young. It's a little young.
I don't know. Maybe someday.
Who knows? What? 20-plus year?
Hey.
Plus.
I'm not in my 40s yet. Don't age me.
Just kidding. So we've got that line, which is kind of in, I mean, it's more towards the, like the first, within the first 100 pages of the book.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's on page 73.
Yeah. I mean, right, this book does not.
Doesn't waste any time.
Play it like tight on the sex scenes. There is, this book is basically sex.
Basically, yeah, but
like I mean, there's storyline. It's more sex than anything. Now it's hot sex, so I'm not complaining. But
very,
this kind of goes into the whole like it was a very long book for somebody who devours novels the way I do. It's hard to be like 400 something pages in, and all I can tell you about this book is there's a lot of sex.
Yeah.
So
I agree. I think it's just probably how it became so sensational on TikTok is that it was legitimately just really about sex.
I mean, I heard somebody actually refer to this book as like Nate providing a water park for the readers, if you catch my drift. And I'm not going to lie. I think that's an accurate description.
Homemade water park.
It's a homemade water park right there in your panties, ladies. very exciting. Mm. It was great. Like, I mean, I liked the variety of the scenes. I mean, okay. So we named our drink Uber Slut.
Yep.
Because there is a scene in the Uber with all their friends around.
Yeah. They are definitely not alone in that.
They're Uber. definitely not alone. But
there's what, like at least three other people with them or
there was,
at least three. I'm thinking,
I mean, regardless, even if it was just you two and the Uber driver, that's still something you wanted to do.
That's right.
The
Uber driver was there.
Yeah. So. Like it was an Uber. So this is like somebody you don't know driving you around while you're literally fingering her in the back.
And not just that, like there was buildup. There was foreplay. So much. I'm like, wow, I'm just trying to think in my head, like trying to imagine how this would actually play out.
Yeah.
I'm like, where are the other people sitting? Like, I know that they were on their way home from like a night of like drinking and were they at a
club or bar. Yeah.
Yeah, the Honey Pot Club. And so obviously everybody was, you know, somewhat inebriated.
Yeah. Super but turned on too, still, it seems like.
How do you like actually accomplish that?
And I'm like, I don't think, could you be quiet enough to? And they did say there was a lot of music playing and
like loud music playing, but still, how could you?
I don't know.
Really concentrate. being very quiet.
I mean, all I can say is this guy must be magic, right?
Doesn't she call him that?
Like, she's like, she calls him a fire starter at one point, and I'm like, yes, that is accurate because I am on fire and I don't even know this guy and he's also fictional. So I never will actually know him.
Right. It's just words on a page.
Totally. But so that you guys aren't thinking that we just called her an Uber slut because we would never attach that name to somebody. She, after they get out of the Uber, after he finishes her, they decide to swap numbers. And she puts her name in.
She programs her number in his phone under Uber Slut.
Yep.
And like refuses to let him change it, right?
Yeah.
Because like you fast forward all the way to the end of the book, or even it's like one of the last couple chapters.
Yeah.
And
all the texts are still between him and
Uber Slut. The text messages
are
coming through.
From I really liked the conversations though with his puck bunnies, which was his,
oh my gosh,
his hockey team,
his teammates,
and they're in a group chat called Puck Bunnies, and I laughed when they were kind of razzing on Nick about their relationship and Nate. So Nate leaves the chat,
he said Nick.
And then like, oh, I'm sorry, I said Nick. Who's Nick?
Nick Miller. Because you're referencing you, girl. Nate Hawkins.
Nate, I can't believe I said Nick. I'm sorry about that. Sorry, Nate. If you were real, I would really apologize.
It's some of that libation, you know what I mean?
But so his teammates are razzing on him about it. And so he leaves the group chat. And then one of the guys adds him back. And then he leaves it again.
Back and forth. So-and-so added Nate Hawkins
back. I just thought that was fun. Like, we're not letting you. We're not letting you out of this conversation. Yeah. No, sir. Also, he's a captain. I mean, how could he, like, leave
that? Yeah, he really needs to stay. He really does. Yeah. But I like that you brought that up because I actually very much enjoyed the scenes in the book where some of the other teammates were there. And, like, you know, for a good portion of the book, Anastasia ends up, like, living with Nate and bunking in like the hockey house. Yep. And, you know, we've got some of the supporting teammate characters, Henry, Russ, right? JJ.
Well, Russ wasn't living in the house yet, but he was the other freshman.
That's that right.
They thought he was in trouble. Robbie.
Robbie.
And JJ.
Robbie, JJ, and then, Henry. And I just like, I don't know. I liked that aspect of.
She made all of them so likable.
I know.
Like such a likable team.
Everybody was extremely likable, of course, except Aaron.
Yeah, but Aaron wasn't the hockey team. He was poor Anastasia's.
Just characters in general.
So as soon as I read the back of this book, I was assuming this was going to be similar to the movie The Cutting Edge. Are you too young for that movie?
No, I know what that movie is.
But it wasn't, right? Because the actual part when they paired up to skate together so that, you know, he was benched from the hockey team because they were under the impression that he was the one who injured Aaron. So Aaron got injured and wasn't able to skate.
Yeah, he shows up one day with, like, his arm in a sling and was like, I fell. What exactly did he say?
He outright blamed
that it, Nate. Yeah, he was like...
And then Nate said he did it because he didn't want
the whole, basically. Yeah. Before they were even dating.
Before they did anything.
Nothing.
And he was just jealous.
Yeah, he just completely lied about that. And until Nate took the fall for it, the whole team was going to be benched. They weren't going to be able to play any of their games. And then he was like, well, we can't let that happen. And so he's like, I'll take the fall. So then Nate is benched for whatever length of time it's going to take for Aaron's injury to heal.
To recover
and get back on the ice.
And so while he's recovering, he and Stacy start building their romance. And so he steps in and says that he'll help her train because he can't get on the ice for the hockey team. So he starts helping her. So I was under the impression that was actually going to be
more of the center.
Like more of a foundation. Yeah. But that didn't even happen till literally halfway through the book.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, they didn't even pair up so there was all that, like, build up for that scene. Mm-hmm. And so I was kind of let down because I was really kind of looking forward to that, like, seeing how, aside from him wearing leotards, the leggings.
Trying to get him into
leather. Where he had to put shorts over because it showed everything.
Yeah, it's huge dick.
I mean, apparently he's massive.
What did she call it? Dictinized?
Yeah, every time that she saw it and she was dictinized.
Dictinized by his massive dick.
I mean, honestly, I can honestly say that's never happened to me. I've never...
Me either.
Been so, like, focused on it that I can't think of anything else.
You just forget about everything and everyone around you.
I mean, I don't know, maybe if he was big enough or if he was, I don't know.
Man, the way that she writes about his dick in this book, you would think that, I mean, you could climb it like a beanstalk.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Like, every dick should maybe be molded after his or something. Like, yeah.
Stacy just raves about how perfect it is. And I'm like, okay,
I don't know. I've just never seen one that had me so hypnotized by it that I would call it dignitized. Which I don't know. Like, is this a new word in my vocabulary? Maybe.
Who knows? I mean, you could add it to the back burner there.
You know, like, both of them come from such different backgrounds, right? Like,
very different.
Going back to kind of the adoption, she was adopted. And
right. The part where that you didn't understand why I asked.
I know. I was like, I'm not sure. But like, her parents obviously loved her a lot, you know, and she was very concerned about
disappointing them.
And,
very much so.
And then, but Nate had the opposite, right? Because he had a dad who was.
So his mom died.
And
her name was Mila.
Mila.
And his dad is a prick.
His dad is controlling.
Extremely.
And it seems like. The way that his dad finally came around and confessed, right, that Stacy was much like Mila in that she grounded him and all of that. And then when she passed, he didn't know what to do. And so he kind of threw himself into coaching Sasha, which is Nate's younger sister,
in skiing. Yeah.
So, but he could never control Nate because Nate wanted to play hockey. And so that wasn't, that wasn't his dad's thing. And so, you know, you kind of see both sides where Nate had all this money and he had the wealth, but he did not have like the familial support. And then, which was the opposite for Stacy, even though it, I mean, it didn't ever sound like she was hurting for money, just that she, you never really kind of understood where she was. Cause she got to school on a scholarship. She was living in Aaron's house.
The whole financial situation was
And it wasn't that her parents couldn't fly. It was that they didn't like to fly. So they never came to see her at school, but they were very involved and very active in following her career. And I thought that was fantastic. And she's in therapy, and I actually really appreciated that.
I'm glad they brought that up.
Gave us like a glimpse into what therapy could look like and how it could help somebody heal.
Yeah, I really loved that aspect of the book. And actually, I was just, while you were talking just a minute ago, I was trying to find one of the lines that kind of tied into some of her mental illness struggles with anxiety. And I marked this line because I particularly related to it personally, but she just says, I felt this crushing pressure, which now as an adult, I realize was severe anxiety. And so that right there, like, sums up my childhood. No, it's like, you don't know. I had no idea what I was experiencing in my childhood was anxiety. You don't realize it until you are an adult
And you know how to put a name to it.
Exactly.
You know, if you'd never heard of that term before, how would you ever know to think that that could be something you suffered from?
Right. And just the fact that, like you said, I really appreciated that Hannah Grace, the author, that she added therapy into the book and not just talked about it once or one scene. It was recurrent.
Yeah. I mean, all the way through like the gift that he got her for Christmas and so that she could do therapy iPads, better. Yeah.
So she could stop having to borrow Lola so she can use her own iPad to do her virtual therapy. I mean, therapy just so sessions. Thoughtful,
but like, like making sure that she could, and then Aaron, obviously going back to the guy we hate, like lording that over her. Oh, well, if I just get her to do therapy with me because she loves therapy so much, like, no, you don't use that as a weapon, you jackass. Like,
yeah. The epitome of a controlling, gaslighting.
Seriously, have we said that we hate Aaron yet? Because I want to go on record.
Officially on the record that we absolutely hate Aaron. Level 10.
When he showed up at a party and started talking shit about
so much shit. And then started spreading lies. And there was a pretty significant fight that broke out.
I keep remembering the scene though where like he straight up tells her like, those are the noises that you make while you're eating something are the same as your sex noises.
And she's like,
the walls aren't as thin as you, as thick as you think they are.
She's like, oh shit.
Yeah. Yeah. But he's like, it's so funny. He's got game. So I kind of wonder, I did notice online that this is a series.
It's
so haven't heard anything about the rest of the series. And I'm just wondering if I had to say who the additional
next characters would be.
Do you think Robbie and Lola are going to get their own spinoff, or did they, were they enough of a secondary couple in this one that we probably don't need one?
No, I think for sure there's going to be a book centered around, at least Lola has to be. And maybe Robbie too. Like they, I don't know. I feel like there was,
they were together. So I feel like that would be natural.
Definitely more than enough supporting characters that were introduced in this book to make these spinoff books.
Yeah.
Or not spinoffs, but the sequel and then the third one and so on and so forth. But
well, and I feel like we're going to get one for Henry because she made him just this character that everybody's going to love.
Yeah.
And everybody's going to want to know what finds out. Does he go back and find Daisy, who, you know, that That's whole right, romantic Daisy. Tryst was interrupted when Nate went into the, to get some supplies for Stacy, or could it be Jen who showed up in the lingerie store for him. Right. And
can we talk for a minute about how he had the whole like feminine like product stash like already prepped and ready?
Yes.
Like tampons, shampoo, conditioner,
he had this whole
hairbrush, hairspray, like, you know, anything you could think of that a female might need morning after waking up, you know, in some hockey guy's bed, like they, he had this all.
He wanted them to make sure that they didn't
stand by.
Yeah. They didn't maybe feel so much of the, one night stand hangover.
Or, yeah. Or, and, like, yeah, Nate even like has
walk
to,
of shame.
And, Nate even has to use his stash, too, which I think is hilarious.
Well, because, and the fact that all their bedrooms are behind locked doors.
Right, the keypad
like,
entry.
There's a keypad for all these doors.
Like, when I was in college, it did not work like that.
I'm like, I went to community college, so I definitely did not experience that. But, man, like, in the beginning, I was like, where do these kids get all this money? They had a Vegas party where literally was an open bar. I'm like, how do college age students host
that part?
Vegas open bar
not
party.
Super realistic unless they all come from like a ton of
but
money.
But then we find out that
rich
that we know at least Nate does. Nate we does. Know comes from a lot of money.
Well, and we're also in talking California.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, there you go. That's your answer right there.
But he's from Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And his dad lives in Colorado. That's where the house is.
True.
So.
Speaking of the house.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the kitchen scene?
Oh my gosh. Yes.
With...
We have to talk about this scene specifically because I was mid-texting somebody about this like the day before
this scene came up. About that type of scenario?
This. Yes. So. Do you want to explain?
Yeah. So basically. I would say this is about. Little over halfway, maybe three quarters of the way through the book when they go to Nate's house in Colorado for Christmas, the Christmas and New Year's, the holidays. And they end up in the kitchen. I don't even really remember how it started. There's so many sex scenes in this book that I can't even keep them all
literally,
straight.
Literally. I have so much. I tabbed my book right, with pink for so all of tabs. The sex scenes. And I have so much pink tabs on this. It's ridiculous.
Like the majority of your tabs
it's
are
mostly
pink.
It's mostly sex scenes, what I tabbed here. A couple of quotes.
So Anastasia is like, wait, I have an idea.
Yeah.
And she's like, get on the counter.
Yeah.
And so... his shirt's
like, tied
off.
Him down or
yeah.
something, right?
Yeah. She ties his hands at the wrist with like a ribbon and she has him what, like
Christmas
lay down.
Ribbon, ladies.
Christmas
take
ribbon,
note.
You know, has him lay down on the counter and then he can't see what she is getting, but he hears her rummaging in the fridge and come to find out she's gotten like the whipped cream and I don't know, like chocolate
berries
sauce
and
like strawberries.
I'm imagining like an ice cream sundae bar, right? Like
yeah.
Nate's body is now the ice cream and she's going to decorate it as she likes ice cream sundaes.
His fine ass abs.
Yes.
Is the surface to put all of the whipped topping and ice cream toppings that she's about to devour.
Yeah, but I've never heard of like summer sausage being a part of an ice cream bar.
Summer sausage. Oh, but
I mean, he's so big, right?
Yeah, but she doesn't get that far because they get interrupted.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's like sucking off the Ready Whip or something from the can. And I was literally just telling somebody like, hey, this, you know, that's one way to spice things up. Maybe is like treat him like an ice cream sundae buffet. And then I literally read about this and I was like, oh my gosh, that's hilarious. I did not plan that. I had no idea it was coming up.
That is funny.
Coming up. I know.
Oh, he was up. He was up a lot.
Yeah, he was up.
He
yeah.
was up a whole hell of a
but
lot.
That didn't get very long. And can I just be mad about this for a second?
You
because
can.
Now
yes.
now that's two books in a row for us. So I've already confessed last episode
writers.
That like the
teasing.
Kitchen thing is is a hot thing for me. Mm. And we didn't get it in the last one, even though the and fix her up, even though the scene built up for something fun and saucy to happen there, it didn't happen. And then this time they get walked in on.
I know.
And it still didn't really happen. Like nothing really happened.
They get interrupted by Sasha, Nate's little sister.
Yeah.
And they end up scrambling and having to run to cover themselves because they were a bit indisposed.
Yeah.
but yeah, that's
just a bit.
But that scene happened. That scene was the follow-up to a more, like, very serious part of the book when Stacey... Oh.
I think it happened before. If it's where you're going.
Well, anyways, it happened in the same location. But same there location. Is a more serious part of the book towards the end when Stacey falls through the ice.
Yeah. Okay. So... my morbid brain already assumed.
That's right.
When Nate took Stacy out to play hockey and skate around on his backyard ice rink in Colorado.
Because he lives on a lake.
I automatically assume that if you're putting in a book that there is a homemade or whatever ice rink, not professional ice rink, that exists, somebody's going to fall through the ice. I just assume it. Like,
that's so funny.
Is it weird that my brain just goes there? I feel like that's a morbid part of my brain.
I don't really know if it's weird. It's just like a different, I don't know, line of thinking.
Yeah.
Because like in contrast to you, I didn't see it coming at all. In fact, yeah. I texted you and was like, yeah. Oh my gosh, she just fell through the ice. I didn't see that coming at all.
Exactly.
And you were like, really?
I know. Oops. I was like, oh, I totally said, oh, okay. I guess that's not everybody who thinks that way.
And
not to like, you know, throw shade to this or whatever, but this is because I do read a lot of books, this is actually the second book this year, and we're only in February. Where the female main character followed a deer onto ice and fell through. So it's literally the second time in a romance book that this entire situation
and has
happened.
She says, I was just getting ready to have a Snow White moment and everything,
yes.
Right?
Yes, which also you're like little singing last time.
You know, big Disney fan here, folks.
Yeah.
She's so mad that Nate calls her and interrupts her almost Snow White moment when she's like, right by the deer. And then she's talking to him on the phone and then he's like, wait, where are you? And she tells him the part of the lake that she's on. And he was like, stop. Walk back very slowly.
But he doesn't even get that far because she falls through the ice.
Boom. Falls through the ice. And he ends up having to race to get to her.
And don't worry, folks. She made it.
She made it. He did. He rescued his damsel. Her. And she was in distress. So he had to restart her heart. He had to give her some.
He did. And then she was in the ER CPR for a while.
Mouth to mouth. And very knight in shining armor. Nate.
I feel like I'm damaged or something. The fact that I would just automatically assume that there's ice, somebody's falling through it. I need to work on that. Maybe I should start some therapy.
Maybe you should talk to somebody. You should talk to somebody about that.
Yeah.
In all seriousness, though, therapy is, I highly recommend it for every single person.
Absolutely.
Therapy is amazing. I've been doing my own therapy for the past 3 years and you just learn so many valuable tools, lifelong tools that you can resource back to, at any minute of any day. Yep. And it doesn't mean that your anxiety or depression or whatever you're talking about or trying to work through necessarily like goes away. It doesn't. It never goes away. It's always going to be there, but you have the tools and resources that you've learned in therapy to better manage it, and not let that take over your life.
Yeah.
And give that the power, which it definitely did for me before I started therapy.
And not letting that, like you said, have power, control the rest of your life. Like if you can find that healing through it, then your life can be so much more vibrant.
Oh, so much more. Like I couldn't even tell you the number of things that I've learned in therapy that have been so incredibly useful for me.
Yeah.
So again, kind of circling all the way back to when we were talking about therapy in the beginning, just probably one of my favorite aspects of this book is that the author included therapy,
and anxiety, and not just a gloss over, like she went to therapy.
She didn't just like throw the word out.
It very much went into like a session. Mm-hmm. Like this is how she processed. This is how her therapist actually helped her cope. Mm-hmm. I just thought that was great.
I did too.
I also thought, totally like taking things back from a more serious note to something a little bit more lighthearted, I guess. But Halloween, when she shows up in JJ's jersey.
Just to get his goat. Oh my gosh.
He was so upset. Okay, but can we talk about the fact that this guy that's like some friggin' hottie is dressed as Gru. And then all of his teammates are dressed as minions? So I'm dying. I'm dying.
The whole hockey team is at, again, the Honey Pot Club. This like nightclub, up-and-coming nightclub. And they're all there first. And then Stacey and Lola walk in, and she's like looking across the room at the team, and they're all wearing Minion costumes. And then Nate, the captain, is dressed as Gru.
Like Gru with that pointy nose
and the scarf around his neck, probably cinched all the way.
But she shows up in JJ's jersey, and he's like, you better take that off. Like,
oh, he,
which is hilarious, right? Because
whisks her away to the bathroom and locks the door.
I don't actually know if JJ is like fluid in his preferred partnerships, but it does come out sexuality. That he's with men a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that means, like, I don't want to say.
Right. I don't think they ever specifically say, but
for me, like Nate going all ape shit about it when JJ is like, seems to be way more into men.
Yeah.
It kind of made me laugh that he was upset that it was JJ's jersey of everybody's. Oh,
because he's so possessive. Yeah. Like, he just wants to.
But not in like a bad way. It wasn't possessive,
not a controlling abusive way. Like, right. Aaron.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Let's not go back to that douchebag again.
He was very supportive of her.
Oh, for sure. Like, he just, it was more of a, if you're wearing a jersey, you're wearing my jersey. You're not wearing anybody else's jersey. Right. And boy, does he take her into that bathroom in more ways than one.
They had a lot of really good parts about that.
What I liked about this specifically about the sex in this book is that no encounter was the same, and they did it in a lot of different places.
Yeah, for the the quantity of sex that they had, it was very varied. Yeah. Very varied. Yeah.
Very varied.
It was very varied.
No, there was a wide range of things and activities that were tried.
So I have to share this one quote it's from JJ.
Okay.
And it's when he goes flower shopping with Nate. Oh, and Nate's getting
peonies.
Peonies for
their I'm Anastasia. Sorry flowers.
Yeah. And JJ's like, I want a hot guy to buy me flowers. And Nate's like, right. You're serious? And JJ's like, I'm just saying, flowers would be nice, you know? The people I date always expect me to buy them flowers. It's always, JJ, wow, your dick is so big. Or, you're so smart. Or, JJ, that was the best sex of my life. It's never, JJ, I bought you some flowers. Whatever. It doesn't matter. So Nate goes and buys him flowers. I thought that was so sweet. Buys them, like,
what, pale blue peonies? Blue.
And then he's like, JJ's, like, fawning over them in the car ride home. Like, how freaking cute is that? But I just love that. He's like, you have such a great big dick. And I'm like, yeah. And you never get flowers. I'm sorry. Should we start buying men flowers more often? Would they?
I mean, maybe.
Would it mean anything to them?
I think just the actual act of, oh, like, I was on her mind. She thought of me today.
Yeah.
And she picked out these flowers for me. Like, not necessarily the flowers themselves. I probably don't really care about. But just the, you know, oh, she thought of me today. I took up some space in her head today, you know.
Yeah. It's just being thought of.
Yeah.
So I kind of have been wondering if JJ is actually going to be one of the characters in
the follow-ons.
Especially after the epilogue. Like, that kind of made me think even more so that we might see his love story play out. Which I think would be cute.
I think that would be very interesting.
I would definitely read it, but maybe not 430-something pages of it. I'm not going to lie. I would still read it because, again, like, I really enjoyed all the spice in this. Like, I thought this was an enjoyable novel. I was hooked right from the start. But this thing is literally blown up on social media. Like, we picked this because
it was all over social media. Yeah. Book Talk and Instagram, Bookstagram. Like, it just, I feel like it pretty much blew up overnight.
Yeah.
It was just all over, like, every other.
And rightfully TikTok. So. Like, rightfully so. People in the smut world are, I think, liking this.
Yes. I was just flipping through my tabs as well. And I like this line, which is from, again, it's from Anastasia. And I think it's a good line that kind of sums up, like, how Nate just kind of came crashing into her world. She says, I've been totally and utterly unhinged by a man. I'm disgusted with myself for being distracted, for knowingly letting every sliver of feminism shrivel up and die over dimples and thick thighs.
I mean, like, thick thighs, okay? Thick. Can we talk about hockey players?
Oh my gosh, so incredibly muscular, probably like tree trunks.
I'm not lying. I think we need to go and see the Texas Stars now. Like, should we go and get some tickets?
I would really be all for that.
Like, that's the local team that we could see, right? Like, without having to travel very far.
Yeah.
I'm in. Let's do it.
Sign me up.
We're going to go. Any listeners who want to come with us, just write us and let us know. We'll add you to the invite list.
DM us.
Check out some of these hot Instagram account
or email us at chicletandlibations@gmail.com. You have a lot of pink tab still. Is there any other quotes that you maybe want to?
I mean, I could read you guys table. This book. except that sometimes when I read, I stumble over my words.
We all do.
But man, one of the scenes that I really, really loved, and I'm sorry, I know this is not everybody's cup of tea, but there's a scene when she tells me, fuck me like you hate me.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to treat you like that. And I was like, yes. I know that that's totally against all the feminist stuff, but I'm not going to lie. I don't want somebody to actually hate me. I don't want them to actually hurt me, but I want them to be that rough.
Right.
I just want to say sorry to my family who might be listening. that just got awkward real fast.
They should already know this is an unfiltered, uncensored. And
then every time when he's like, "That's a good girl," when they do something in bed, I was like, "Oh my gosh, don't even." He's like,
"That's a good girl. Are you going to come for me?" And I'm like, "Oh my Lanta."
Okay, so I found the quote, and he goes, Nate says, "I'll be gentle." And she's like, "Don't be gentle. Fuck me like you hate me."
Yeah.
And he's like, "I'm not going to act like I hate you, Anastasia." And her body squirms, desperately searching for something to dull the ache. And she's like, "Why?" And he's like, "Because I could never hate you. I'm going to fuck you like this tight little pussy is mine. You'll take it like a good girl, won't you?" And I'm like, literal water park. Okay. I know that I did not coin that phrase, but I'm adding to it because I agree. Yeah,
keep that in the back burner.
I'm like, seriously.
Like a good girl.
Like
just melt. Puddle.
Take
puddle
it away
the
from
floor.
The, disaster that it could be about hating you and just be like, I'm going to treat you with respect.
Yeah.
Not treat you with respect.
Touche, Nate. Touche.
Way to
For that to be the follow-up after she says, fuck me like you hate me.
Yeah. Ooh. And the whole consent was a big deal for him, which I appreciate too. He's like, I'm not going to do anything until you tell me that this is what you want.
You verbally have to tell me, so, yes, it's okay.
Right.
And she's really she's like, yes, can you just get on with it?
Exactly.
He's like, no, I don't mess around about consent.
No, not at all. I thought that was,
and he does not do anything with her when she's completely wasted those few times.
Yeah. And she ends up in his bed and he's like, they put a pillow fort between the two of them so that they wouldn't be messing around.
Pillow barricade. Yeah,
barricade. That's what they call it.
Oh, that reminds me. Another part of this book that I really loved that I thought was honestly kind of cute is the whole, do you want to play house today?
Yeah.
Do you want to play house for
a
few days with me, Nate? And just kind of just be in each other's presence, be wrapped up in each other and not think or do anything else, but be with each other in the house. That was their thing. You know, do you want to play house? And so I loved that part, but the pillow barricade guy kind of got destroyed a couple of times, but
I don't know if we should jump into the epilogue at all, but that was something that made me question.
I think we should, because we've already, again, spoiler.
Yeah.
You already know that we discuss a lot, but I think, let's skate on into that epilogue.
We're just skating all over the place.
I kind of feel
like we need some ribbons or something to do. I know that that's on the mats and not on the ice, but should there be skating ribbon routine or something? I feel
that would be dangerous because if the ribbon caught up in the skates,
would that be more difficult than the girls on the mats with it? Because they could trip and I don't know. How thick are those ribbons?
Girls on the mats do not have any shoes on or skates or anything.
No, I know, but they're twirling it so much that they could literally get it snapped or, around their leg or something. And at the speed they're going, I don't know.
Anyways, the epilogue, folks.
Totally rabbit trailing.
I liked the epilogue.
In the epilogue, I thought it was cute. I thought it was a little unbelievable in a way. Because
I don't necessarily, because I feel like it just takes one time. One time.
So we're totally spoiling this book. But in the epilogue, we find out that baby crazy because there were multiple times when it referred to her getting pregnant or her having a baby. And then she had the whole house of hockey guys she was cooking for and treating like they were family and they were like her little kids. So she ends up pregnant because she threw up her birth control pill when she had anxiety about, she had pre-performance anxiety, which caused her to throw up.
For her skating routine.
But if you're consistently taking birth control, missing one or losing one pill should not then cause you to be able to get, you should still have like built up.
Yeah. See, this is where I think you're diving too deep into
it. Oh, am I? Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah,
this is contemporary.
Just enjoy romance. It, Tony. You don't have to dissect it all. Yeah.
If I can,
too far.
If I can refer to the little snippet about the author, Hannah Grace, the first line is, Hannah Grace is an English self-labeled fluffy comfort book author. So
would
there
you describe
you
this book as fluffy comfort? This book is slutty comfort. Like, I am...
I guess.
Like him and Han over there.
Point I'm trying to make, yet again, is... I think you just kind of roll with it.
Oh,
broke her birth control pill.
So if it's not realistic, just allow it to be realistic in this fictional world.
How much of this book do you think is actually realistic?
Yeah, I know, right? Like, he got her off three times before he came once. And I was also, like, that's not realistic. I wish
Uber.
It was realistic.
May the Uber. That's all I need to say.
So it's got to be like an Uber XL, right? Like, or Elite, or maybe there's like a
stretch Uber.
There
was more than one XL thing in that Uber.
I am here for it.
In all seriousness, it is probably extremely unlikely that she would get pregnant just because she threw up one birth control pill. However, they got their baby.
They got their baby.
And then he got down on one knee.
And then he proposed and they have a whole thing. It's really sweet, but yeah, it was just very much, it just kind of caused me to have some doubts, but I liked how like they ended up in Seattle and he was playing pro
and also they were both extremely successful. She won gold medal in women's singles.
Yes.
Because
I mean the decision for her to go out of pairs, which is her entire career.
Yeah. She finally
kept screwing around.
She finally got out of Aaron's toxic grasp at the very end of the book. And then in the epilogue, we find out that she went on to do women's singles and then won gold. And then Nate's team won the Heisman Trophy. And so they were both, yay, very successful and won. And, you know, have fans fawning over them.
A nice little bow.
And a nice little bow. And let's not forget the golden retriever puppy.
Yeah, I know.
Firstborn child.
Her firstborn.
Their Golden's actual so child. Pretty.
Actually, I'm pet sitting right now and I have a golden and she's beautiful.
She's such a cutie.
They're actually behaving very well tonight for as far as hearing them in the background.
Yes, we have no dog collars in the background this episode. So
I know.
That's great. So anything else that you can think of that you wanted to bring up?
I mean, I could probably continue talking about this book for a while because there's just a lot to
it. Any other sex scenes that stand out to you?
Yeah. Extra sex scenes?
I mean,
let
you
me
said
just
you have
open
a lot
up
of
on
pink
my
pink
tabs.
Tabs
again. Oh, actually, so this isn't really a sex scene, but for all my fellow readers out there, I love this at the very end, not at the very end, but towards the end when he's.
Do tell.
Nate's like, I love a woman who likes to read. So she's reading this Reverse Pretty Woman book and he's like, you're reading porn in public? You're disgraceful. And I'm like, all the times that I read, and I'm like, I can deadpan face.
Y'all,
nobody
I
has
did,
any idea what I'm reading. Unless
I
they
did
know
that today, literally today.
On your lunch break, right?
On
you're
your
at
lunch
work.
Break, right?
She's like, it's not porn. It's a romance book that happens to have a little bit of sex in it. And he's just like, I love a woman who enjoys reading.
Yes, I love that
like,
part.
I just thought that was really cute of him. Like, to kind of get into that, you know, she's got ideas, you know, a woman who reads has ideas.
Oh, hell yeah.
On how to spice things up, on how to like enhance your relationship, on all sorts of stuff.
So. I don't know about you, but I definitely take some mental notes as I'm going through these
mental
books,
physical. Like I have a notebook here that I have notes in.
Tony whips out like a whole file cabinet. She's like, yeah, this top drawer. Go to
this scenario, pick a scenario, any scenario. I've got a folder on it. No.
Top drawer is oral. Bottom drawer, kitchen with ice cream.
I've got ideas. That's all I'm going to say.
I think we've been going for quite a while. So probably about time to wrap. And boy, did they.
And they
did. Went for
over and over and over.
Again and again and again.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we're going to wrap this episode 2 up. So again, thanks for joining us here on the Chicklet and Libations podcast with your hosts, Amanda
and Tony.
We would love it if you would subscribe to our podcast. You can find it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play coming soon, or Anchor. Catch our next episode where we are going to be discussing The Deal by L. Kennedy.
Can't wait. Another hockey book.
Yeah, I was just about to say.
Another hockey romance.
Unbeknownst to us, we are doing 2 hockey romances back to back, but why not? We're just going to skate on into the next episode as well. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love for you to subscribe, share, rate, and leave a review. Don't forget to connect with us on our Instagram at Chicklet and Libations, where you'll find our drink recipes, show notes, upcoming books, and so much more. We are Lit Chicks reviewing Chick Lit. Stay spicy.